This is part two of letting go and letting be, and today we're going to talk about learning how to relax the body. I'm Joe Vaughn. We ended last time with a good deal of discussion about stress, of course, and change, and how those two, when put together, especially change and causing stress, can lead to many difficulties physiologically and psychologically. As I said yesterday, we can't do anything to change the stressors in our life. Job changes, promotions, firings, moving from one city to another, from one house to another, children coming into the family, children leaving the family, sometimes even divorce, certainly death, are not things that we have a lot of control over. On the other hand, then what do we do? How do we combat stress? How do we deal with stress? How do we learn how to get a handle on what to do in those kinds of situations? Well, what we try to do is to teach some what we call coping mechanisms. That is, some ways to manage stress more effectively. One coping mechanism has to do with the kind of stress that's created in the body, and that's relaxation. There are some specific relaxation exercises that can be learned that have essentially the effect of combating the stress in our physiological response to stressful situations. So that it is incompatible that one be relaxed and under stress at the same time. The reason for teaching relaxation techniques and relaxation exercises is that the more we have the body relaxed, the more we have a situation in which the body is not under stress. The more often the body is not under stress, the more likely it is that we are going to stay healthy, the more likely it is we're going to stay effective in terms of our life situation. As I said, you cannot have the feeling of warm well-being in your body and at the same time experience psychological stress. Progressive relaxation, as it's called, of the muscles of the body, the deep muscles of the body, does several things. And it does several things that are in direct opposition to the kinds of things I told you stress does to us. One, relaxation, when practiced consistently and effectively, reduces pulse rate and blood pressure. It also decreases the perspiration rate and the respiration rate. So we lower the mechanisms in the body that have to do with blood pressure and with respiration. And that very state of relaxation is essentially an antidote to stress. The technique that I'm going to show you and go through with you today is not a new technique. It's a variation on a set of procedures that were developed in 1929, as a matter of fact, by a man by the name of Jacobson, physician from Chicago, I believe, who was interested in trying to find a way to combat anxiety through deep muscle relaxation. Jacobson has a very involved procedure for relaxation. Many people change that around a little bit, and there are many variations on deep muscle relaxation, or progressive relaxation, as he called it. I'm going to go through one of those variations with you today. All of you are here without children and with empty bladders, ready to be relaxed, I can see. This is not the ideal setting for relaxation in that it is a little bit crowded and the chairs are not quite made for comfort. If some of you would like to lay down on the floor, and it looks like it would be an ideal place upstairs to do that, you may find this even more interesting and even more relaxing for you. We are not interested in putting you to sleep. Some people do go to sleep. Let me point out that if you go to sleep, that you're not buying the program, you're not listening to what we're doing. I certainly am not going to give you low marks if you go to sleep, but we're not interested in putting you to sleep. Relaxation is a combination of relaxed muscles and focused attention, so that we want to be able to use that relaxed state. And in the subsequent sessions, we're going to use that relaxed state to build on some other ways in which relaxation can be used as the basis for meditation, as the basis for a variety of imagination and guided imagery techniques that also can relax the mind. But that's getting ahead of the story a little bit. Today we're interested in deep muscle relaxation, learning to relax the body. For those of you who choose not to sit on the floor or lay on the floor today, what I would ask you to do when I ask you to take a comfortable position is to do this, is to keep your feet flat on the floor and to sit in the chair with your hands not folded, but rather your hands in your lap, resting comfortably on your legs typically. The reason for sitting flat on the floor is that if you have your feet up and you get relaxed, and if you should fall asleep, you might go over backwards. And also, if you are even semi-consciously focused on trying to maintain your balance in this kind of position, you're not going to be able to achieve the kind of relaxation that we would like you to achieve. Those of you who are in the chairs, I just suggest too that you might just not be too scrunched together. Give yourselves a little room so that you can have your own space, and that will help the situation. Now, before we start, I just want to do something very briefly with you. I want to tell you about something called the SUDS scale. The SUDS scale is something called a scale of subjective units of distress. And we talk about subjective units of distress in terms of a numerical value of 1 to 100. What I would like all of you to do now, with 1 being absolutely, or 0, let's say, being absolutely no stress, and 100 being terribly stressed, so terribly stressed that you can't even sit here, I want you to think about your current level of stress or tension on the SUD scale and just keep that in your mind. You might just want to identify. Are you at 25? Are you at 50? Are you at 75? Are you at 3? Just decide that for yourself as you think about yourself today, right at this moment. Where are you on the SUD scale?
Yes.
Well, it'd be better to do it at this moment.
Okay.
Right in the last hour or so, how would you place yourself? Where would you place yourself on that scale from 1 to 100? 100 would be 100 would be so stressed that that you just can't even sit in your chair. You just totally stressed. And 0 would be we'd be shoveling dirt on you. Okay. Okay? Okay, you have that figure in your mind, and just leave that there and forget about it for the time being. We'll come back to that. All right, one other, one other thing seems to work best. Any of you who are wearing glasses, I would suggest that you take them off. The feeling of the glasses on your nose when we do this might be a distractor also. Okay? Very good. All right, let's go through this exercise and let's see if we can find a way for you to relax today. Find a comfortable position on the chair or the floor. And for those of you on the floor, some of you are already going to sleep, doesn't work so good with your feet up on the chair like that. It's best to be flat on the floor. It's best to be laying on your back. Remove any glasses and close your eyes. I want you to just listen to me talk with you about stress and about relaxation. I want you to just block out any noises from outside the building, from inside the room, anybody walking through, any doors closing, any kids who might wander in. You need not pay attention to those. I just want you to take a few minutes and focus on just a relaxing time for yourself. I want you to block out any thoughts, any concerns at this time, and just concern yourself with listening carefully, closely to what I have to say. I want you to focus for a moment on your breathing. Notice the way in which you breathe, the way in which you take air in, and the way in which you let it out. Study your breathing for a moment. Notice that as you breathe in, there's a pause at the top of your breath before you breathe out. And then there's another pause at the bottom of your breath before you breathe in again. Pay attention to that pause. Notice the quietness and the absence of tension in that pause. Become aware also of other parts of your body that are involved in breathing. Notice the movement in your shoulders, your chest, your ribs, your back, your stomach. Notice the rhythm and the regular quality of your breathing and the feeling of relaxation that's a part of breathing evenly and smoothly and quietly. Go ahead now and take a deep, even breath and hold it for a moment at the top, and then let it go. Let's try that again. Take a deep, even breath, hold it for a moment, and then let it go. Let's take another deep, slow, even breath, hold it, now let it go. As you're beginning to gain full control over your breathing, I want you to notice the beginning of your relaxation. Notice the quiet, the calm, the serene within you. Begin to sense a very serene quietness during each pause. Derive a sense of satisfaction from your smooth, easy, even breathing. Very good. You're doing very well. Now, I want you to focus for a moment on your feet. I want you to notice your feet inside your shoes. Now, curl down your toes tightly in your shoes and hold it for a moment. Notice the tension. Relax and let it go. Notice the relaxation. Let's try it again. Curl your toes downward in your shoes very tight. Hold them very tight. Notice the tension. Let them go. Notice that feeling of relaxation in your feet. That's the feeling that we'll want to work for Just let it come. Let the tension drain out of your feet into the floor. Now, curl your toes upward, tensing the muscles in your calves. Feel the tension in your calves. Hold on. Let go. Notice the relaxation. Try it again. Curl the toes upward, tensing the muscles in your calves. Hold on tightly. Let go. Very good. Let the relaxation come, draining the tension from your calves down through your feet to the floor. Squeeze tight the muscles in your thighs and hold them for a moment. Feel the tension. Study that tension. Let go. Squeeze the muscles in your thighs again. Study the tension. Let go. Allow the lower half of your body to begin to relax and just feel limp and heavy, quiet, calm. Draw tight the muscles in your buttocks. Squeeze for a moment. Hold on. Notice the tension. Let go. Try it again. Draw tight the muscles in your buttocks. Squeezing, hold on. Tight, let go. Just the entire lower half of your body. Drain the tension. Study the relaxation. Allow the relaxation to flow from your waist, buttocks, thighs, calves, feet, toes. Just let go. Limp, calm, relaxed. Now, tense the muscles in your stomach. Tightly, hold on. Let go. Let's try it again. Tense the muscles in your stomach. Feel the tension. Tight. Let go. Allow yourself to experience feeling of quiet, heavy relaxation. Now tense the muscles in the small of your back. Hold on. Let go. Try it again. Tense the muscles in the small of your back. Very tight. Hold on. Notice the tension. Let go. Allow the muscles in your back and your stomach, your hips and your thighs to just relax. Allow yourself to go limp, heavy, limp like a rag doll. You may notice a light tingling in your legs, your toes, a warm heaviness, the beginnings of relaxation, deep muscle relaxation spreading throughout your body. Make a fist with both hands and squeeze tightly. Squeeze real tight. Study that tension. Hold on to it. Notice that tension. Let go. Study that feeling of relaxation. Try it again. Make a fist very tightly, squeezing your hands tightly. Let go. Notice the feeling of relaxation. Bend your elbows now and tense your biceps, making a muscle and holding on very tightly. Squeeze it. Feel the tension. Hold on to that tension. Let go. Let's try it again. Bend your elbows and tense your biceps, squeezing tightly. Hold on. Squeeze it out. let go. Let your arms just hang loose in your lap. Just allow them to relax. Let the tension drain out. Your shoulders, your arms, forearms, hands. Relax the muscles in your shoulders and upper arms and back. Allow those muscles to droop and sag. Allow those muscles to just relax and limp like a rag doll. Study the feeling of relaxation. Notice again your breathing. Notice the quietness, the evenness. Relax the muscles in your chest. Now, while you're relaxed, more relaxed than at any time today, just listen to me talk to you a minute about that feeling. It's a feeling that you can take with you. It's a feeling that you can use in your own life. You can refresh yourself with it anytime you wish. It's yours to use. It's yours to take. You can find that quiet spot deep inside yourself and use it to feel relaxed, refreshed, at peace. Now, with your eyes still closed, I'd like you to yawn. Stretch your arms and legs, move around quietly, and then open your eyes. Well, did anybody get relaxed? Okay.
Your voice helped.
What I would like you to do now before we discuss this is I want you to think about where you are right now on the Sudge scale from 1 to 100. And then I want you to compare that to where you were before we started, and that can be a general measure of whether or not you were able to achieve relaxation. Some people went to sleep. That's okay. Relaxation is a way of putting oneself to sleep. I often teach people relaxation who have insomnia because it does help them to go to sleep. But as I said, for our purposes and for some other ways in which relaxation can be used, it's much more helpful to stay awake. You might have noticed that as we went further in that exercise, I got more relaxed too. And I'm very relaxed now. Because in doing the relaxation exercise, although I don't actively close my eyes and go through it, just doing it is very relaxing for me. But why don't some of you talk about how you felt? Some of you, I think, as I perceived you, got very relaxed. Others of you had more trouble with it. Tell me about it. Anybody want to say how they felt or what happened to them? Good or bad? Success or failure?
I have a comment. Mm-hmm. When I was getting into the really deep relaxation or going with the serene quiet, mm-hmm. I was just feeling really deeply relaxed and I had this amazing massive which just blew the whole thing. And I think my two people on either side had to do
massive myoclonic jerk, a kind of total muscle spasm where the body kind of jumps. If you've had that bit sometimes when you're just falling off and
I caught myself doing that.
That's part of the tension leaving the body and the muscles kind of responding to that. That happens there. Messes things up. You just have to kind of get back into it. Yeah.
A sense of feeling detached, not attached to anything, maybe sort of a floating feeling.
Yes. That's very interesting, and it is something that does happen, and usually I don't always like to talk too much about it beforehand, because then you can suggest certain things, but that sometimes, for people who are not accustomed to it, can be a kind of upsetting situation. Some people don't like to let go that much, because there is a little bit of a kind of a floating sensation that sometimes occurs. That for some people are very relaxing, for others it's kind of scary. Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah, it's scary.
I felt like when I was almost totally relaxed, like I wanted to start laughing. Why was that? Is that because you don't really want to let go? I feel totally relaxed, but I just want to start laughing.
It probably is more, rather than being relaxed, it's more of a reaction to the relaxation and a resistance to it, because the one of the things that makes it very difficult to do this in a group, especially for the first time, is that it feels a little bit uncomfortable. You know, you're kind of wondering, what is this guy going to do? You know, and where is he going with this? And what's going to happen? Some people feel very uncomfortable with that, and yet they feel themselves relaxing sometimes in spite of that. And there's a little bit of a kind of a gee, I don't know where I am, and I don't know kind of what's happening with this, and that can result in an uncomfortable feeling. Maybe.
Is this akin to self-hypnosis? The times that a friend of mine attempted to hypnotize me is he said you would feel a slight, like an electric shock, which would be complete relaxation.
Well, I've never experienced anyone who had that kind of experience in hypnosis or relaxation, but
said you would start to tingle.
The tingling is the change in the blood pattern. As blood flows into the extremities, you know, in contrast to the stress pattern where blood is concentrated in the trunk and the head. If the relaxation technique is being achieved, then what's happening is your circulation is in a sense improving, and it's going out to different points. But getting back to your original question, is it hypnosis? It isn't hypnosis, but it is a form of concentrated awareness. And that is very much like what the hypnotic state is. We have a misconception about what hypnosis is. Most people think it's some kind of magical thing where we're asleep or in a deep trance. The fact of the matter is hypnosis is also a concentrated, focused concentration. And this is akin to that, but not the same. But some of the same techniques are used for both.
I have a question about breathing. Through your mouth or through your nose, or exhaling one way, or inhaling one way and exhaling the other.
People kind of find their own way with that. That's another reason why this isn't a good place to do this, but people kind of find their own way with whether to breathe in or out of their nose or their mouth. Usually works better, I think, to breathe through the nose, and that if you breathe through the mouth too excessively, you get a very dry mouth. And that tends to interfere sometimes then with a feeling of relaxation. Throat gets kind of tight, and so we often would suggest that you breathe through the nose. But that, you know, that varies.
And with that, I have another question about breathing in for to get the breath in the lower abdomen, and then pushing it up, and then up through the upper chest and out.
Yes, that is a deep breathing technique, and that is best. I usually don't go through that in the relaxation because I don't want to focus so much on the breathing as just a way of kind of getting the initial relaxation. But a deep breathing exercise, you're absolutely correct. Correct deep breathing is filling the lower cavity first and then filling from the bottom up. But that becomes hard to explain in this situation when you're trying to get somebody not to think so hard, but to just kind of focus on some very basic kind of things. But anybody else have a feeling about how good or bad about the relaxation?
Well, when I'm trying to relax, I find
a great irritation with noises. The in and out of people,
yes,
in and out of this building. I wanted to get up and hit him for doing it. He's getting to see that I'm getting all deeply and feeling good about the relaxation and all that stuff. And the first one, and I think, oh, gee, and I just go over again. I have really had a hard time relaxing with noises around.
Yes.
Music and...
Well, it isn't conducive, but that's, you know, we were faced with the situation.
Well, I'm thinking of this in general, too. I mean, is this that I'm really, really uptight? Then does this mean that I'm not working hard enough at blocking things out?
Well, I wouldn't say that it says anything specific, just that's what, you know, that you may have a particular feeling about noise, that you've kind of become heightened to it and very sensitive to it. It would be important to begin to tell yourself, much like I said in the beginning, noise is not that important. I don't have to pay attention to it. I've done this kind of situation in rooms where people are walking through, much like we've done here. It isn't helpful the first time because you have so many other things that you're thinking about. Where is this going? If you've never done it before, people walking through it then are a real distraction. But you should be able to learn how to do it with some minor distractions. Although I always tell people they're going to practice it, find a quiet room if they can. But don't worry about noises outside or in the hall or this kind of thing. You can't prevent all noise. So you gotta decondition yourself
to
some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it, you have to just tell yourself in the beginning, I don't need to listen to the noise. I can only focus on myself and my own thoughts and the relaxation that I'm working on. And just continue to bring yourself back to it. It takes some practice, but you just have to continue to refocus on what you're doing. And the more you think about those people walking through, the more you're going to get upset and get lost in the relaxation process. You have to simply turn it off. And it takes a little work.
Well, is it okay to relax, you know, I guess with music in the background?
Yes.
And in your recliner at home?
Sure. If you have quiet music that is relaxing for you, music is one of the most relaxing things. If it's your music, it's probably relaxing. If somebody else's, it probably isn't. And a recliner is much better than this, although, again, for the person who learns how to do it, you really can. You can do it anywhere. I do it in the dentist's chair.
Yeah, right. I go to sleep in the dentist's chair.
But it's nice to have a quiet spot. That's why if you lay down, or if you have a place where you're real quiet, or if you're out in the woods and just listen to the rustlings in the pines, then that's superior. Of course, it's not absolutely necessary.
Isn't it a good idea though to practice relaxing in the same spot each day, if you're practicing relaxing each day, to assume a certain position in a certain place?
When you start, if you're learning the technique, it is best to keep things as consistent as possible. So if you have the same chair, the same music, the same approach, fine. But ultimately, or eventually, after you've begun a little bit more or have become a little bit more practiced and comfortable with the technique, then you can change your own doing.
But I find that when you're talking during the relaxation, it's easier than if I have a blank. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm trying to meditate during a blank, I find myself doing the same thing that I do at prayer, letting my mind wander, mm-hmm. and it'll get into the cares of the day or whatever, even though I don't want it to.
Well, this is, I think they taped it, so you can buy this one.
But it does help,
yeah,
to listen to someone who has at least
it helps because it focuses our attention. You see, and this is the thing that's necessary. That's why we need relative quiet. That's why we need to have kind of attention of people who you're working with, because you want them to focus on the voice, the sound of the voice, and listen to what you're asking them to do.
I had read someone meditation who suggested it. They said that they found that they could relax very easily by repeating the name of Jesus very quietly to themselves. That it was their best method of relaxing. And I find that that's very good. In fact, I found myself slipping into that when you suggested serene and quiet. I had a difficult time saying those two words and not slipping into the pattern of just repeating the name of Jesus.
Well, that would sure, that's the same principle basically. That would be, we use words like serene and quiet because they suggest their very sound and their very connotation. For us, and of course, their definition means relaxed. For those of us for many people, the name of Jesus would be also very soothing and quiet and relaxing and comforting. So that would certainly be very helpful to you. But was there anybody here who struggled with the relaxation or didn't?
Not
a bad
struggle, but I couldn't keep my mind on serene and quiet, but I was still being lulled into relaxation just by the tone of your voice. I probably only mentioned the serene and quiet about three times.
When I stopped talking and you had to kind of put it inside yourself, it became more difficult, is what you're saying.
I think it's interesting that I did do that.
You ever heard of the Alpha Tapes?
No.
A doctor, and I think he's bumped into Tacoma, and he put out these tapes giving a procedure for relaxation. He got a couple of them, and he suggests that you lie on the bed and focus on a particular point, the ceiling or some mark. And then he talks in a low monotone, soothing way. And he keeps saying over and over again about keep listening to the sound of my voice. And he says it doesn't matter if you fall asleep, because the message will get through to you anyway. And he addressed my subconscious. Well, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
It is a relaxing.
There are lots of tapes like that on the market. Lots of, and most of them are good. Most of them have much better voices than I do, and they're technically very good tapes, and they're very relaxing. There's another fellow by the name of Strobel. I think it's Strobel, has a set of tapes called a quieting response. And I have those tapes, and I've taken some of the stuff that I use off of those. Most people, when they do this kind of thing, find a kind of pattern or a kind of approach that they feel comfortable with, so that there isn't any particular set of words that have to be said, but everybody kind of finds their own thing.
Keeps repeating certain words more and more and more. And at the very end, he said, now I will count 1, 2, 3, and bring you out of this.
Does he do the deep muscle relaxation? See, he's focusing probably more on a hypnotic procedure than the difference would be seeing that what we want to do in deep muscle relaxation and the attention to the breathing is to settle the body down and to reduce the tension in the body. That can happen in a number of different ways. You don't have to directly do it, but it has a much better chance of it happening, and you can do it yourself more consistently if you focus on the muscle groups. If you sit and try to tell yourself, relax, stay calm, deeper and deeper. The problem with that is exactly what happened with you and that is that you lose the sense of what you're doing and you start thinking about all kinds of other things. And then you don't get the mind relaxed or focused and you don't get the body relaxed. So that I recommend that for people that, as we're focusing on today, relaxing the body, that you try to stay on deep muscle relaxation. That you try to go, you can go in any direction. I like to start at the feet, work up, and then gradually kind of, you know, go back down again. But it's better, I think, to in the beginning to stay on a particular sequence and stay away from some of the more
general hypnotic kinds of things that can be done. But we'll talk some more tomorrow about, and I'll do some other things with you that are more focused on our thinking. And this today was focused on the body. Anybody else want to say how they felt or what?
I think one technique you may have had is similar to what Ernie is saying with the man he's quoting. He keeps words more and more and more. I found myself waiting for you to say an inventory. Mm-hmm. You know, it seemed like it kind of finished each thing, and it would be kind of a sensation of letting down.
I was so relaxed at one point that when you said to tense up again, I didn't want to. I mean,
yes.
No way.
Yeah, that happens too. You know, you get people at different points. And I did this once with a group from our church. We went on a 2-day retreat, and we did the relaxation. We combined it with some contemplation of several psalms that we were working on. And get relaxed, and then I read the psalm and just kind of focus on that in a very relaxed but focused state. And he said to me, you could have stopped at the ankles, because by the time that you got to the ankles, I was already relaxed. And that's true. And then in a sense it becomes kind of disruptive, because you're still tensing and relaxing when you really want to get into fully the relaxation. Relaxation thing. So in a group it's hard, because people are at different levels. How many of you before have ever done this? Okay, several of you. So it's not anything new for some of you. But for those of you who are new with it, let me tell you that you will do much better the next time. As a matter of fact, we have a few minutes left. What we can do is I can go through it very quickly with you again, and I think you might find that you will become even more relaxed this time. It takes only a couple of times to kind of get the hang of it, and after that it's all practice. Were there any other questions?
Well, I was just wondering if physical exercise leads to relaxation.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes when I get mentally tensed up, I can take a hike or something like that. I don't know whether it's relaxing or it's just the physical tiredness that promotes.
Oh, there's no question. I am not trying to say that this is the only way that one can relax. This is one way of relaxing the body. I happen to be a jogger myself, and I don't go very far. I go about 3 or 4 miles about 3 times a week. I love it. It's the most relaxing thing that I can do. When I'm finished, I feel totally flushed out and totally fresh and just really ready to, and very calm, and very quiet. So physical exercise, no question, is a road to relaxation too. And it's a combatant of stress. There's lots of research now that suggests that jogging and other things, other physical exercises have a definite impact on mild to moderate depression. I prescribe it to many people who I see. You know, I try to get them going on an exercise program. It's very, very effective.
In case you don't have a lot of time to spend doing that, somebody shared with me, just taking the phrase, "Be still and know that I am God." And then every time you say that phrase, you knock off the last word. So by the time you get to the first words, just be, you relax. And I found that's how too. I could bring my car and you can't let go and do some of these things. And take the time. Sometimes you're in that stress hurry between places and you just need to do that. And I found that was really helpful.
Yes. But here again, that would be a cognitive technique, a thought processing technique. What we're working on today is physiological deep muscle relaxation. The problem in those two, the only problem with that, you're absolutely correct, that is can be an effective way too. The only problem with that is that you need to go, in the beginning, you need to learn how to relax. If you go too quickly to some techniques that don't take very long, that you don't really learn the way that feels to be relaxed, you don't really get the benefit out of that. Mm-hmm. So if you can, it's like saying to somebody, well, why don't you just sit quietly and relax for a while? Well, yeah, but how do I do that? You know, okay, I'll try it. And then you sit quietly and you start worrying about the same things you've been worrying about. And it doesn't work. So I would say, yes, use those kinds of shortcuts, and I'll show you some of those too as we go along. But before you do that, I don't want to sell this thing short, and I don't want to over... I want to impress upon you that it takes some time to practice this and gain a sense of what it feels like when you relax. I tell the people that I work with in my office when I suggest that they do this, they need to take at least 2 weeks, at least once a day, and I try to get them to do it twice a day for about 15 minutes, to go through this very procedure and get to a point where then you can begin to add some other things, and then you can, after a while, you don't have to go from the toes all the way up to the scalp and the you know, all the detail. After a while, you can gain a few breaths and a few cognitive things that can get you into that state. But don't take the shortcut to the shorter forms until you know, until you get a sense of what it's like to really relax. Because I've done it so often, I guess I glossed over some of those things. Well, it's a combination of tensing the muscles in the stomach and.
Okay, if you can use your
abdominals
too.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't go with dancing, which I found really difficult, the long-term effect. But my class was from 8:30 to 9:30 because I had children and I didn't want to go to work anymore. And I come back from that later, and I go to bed at 11 o'clock at night and I'm going to bum. And I just couldn't get up. I have to get up and read sometimes. It probably had a long-term effect, but it just really got me going.
Talk with Joanne. What does she say? Of course, I don't know if she's into aerobic dancing, but what I find with jogging is that immediately following, of course, the heart rate is and pulse rate is very high, but it drops off and then is reduced after a period of time, after about an hour. Then you find that that your pulse rate should be lower than it typically is. That's what
I was the doctor in general my entire rate. But yeah,
how soon
three
after?
Hours.
No, that long.
The cold
might be just a kind of individual, you know, difference for you. Don't do that.
In the flexing, when you flex muscles, what I've done before is just try to concentrate on certain muscles and not completely flex them, but just barely move that muscle. And then I can go back up and down the muscles once I've gotten in that relaxed state. And go back up and down the muscles without completely flexing and relaxing. After a while, after you're used to doing that, can just barely move a muscle, have control over just one set of muscles, just barely move it.
Yeah, I think that's probably just an indication of your practice effect with that technique. The initial flexing and relaxing is an attempt to show or to experience what it feels like to be relaxed and to contrast the two. But you're right, you don't have to do that if you've gotten to a point where you can just think about a muscle group and just really focus on it. And that answers kind of your question too, that the more you do this, the more you do become adept at really learning how to control the muscles in your body, the more also you begin to sense how tense you are at times, and the more you'll see that there are certain muscle groups that you become more attuned to, that they're tense. And you'll really have a much more significant body awareness when you do this.
Joe, I've been using this technique for 2 years now. And I started out using the tapes, early mountain tapes, and they're done from the head to the toe through the toe.
Yeah.
But after about 3 weeks, the time to get down into it is so much faster. If they were 20-minute tapes to start with, and I think now probably it would take more than about a minute and a half.
mm-hmm. to get to that level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having trouble coming out. It seems to be taking longer and longer and longer.
You like the feeling, you don't want to leave it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I feel like the whole order, it took me from the time you brought us up just now to now to be able to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I still didn't want to leave.
Well, it's probably an indication again of the fact that you've done a great deal, and it's a pleasant feeling, and you'd prefer just to stay relaxed.
It's a way you can keep a part of it with you over time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to come all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
Much better than driving.
Mm-hmm. Much healthier.
Mm-hmm. When's the best time of day to relax then? Just before you go to bed, or?
Well, if you're practicing it to learn the technique, I don't recommend it just before bed, simply because it'll often just put you to sleep. If you're in bed, if you're tired, and if it's the end of the day, you can just put yourself to sleep very easily. That's fine if that's what you want from it. If you want to learn the technique as a basis for some other procedures and some other techniques, then it would be better to probably do it in the morning. Mid-morning and then sometime late afternoon or early evening, so that you don't go to sleep. You don't want to do it on a full stomach, as I said, because the digestive processes interfere with the relaxation. You don't want to do it with a full bladder, because you're preoccupied with that. You want to do it in a relatively quiet place, in a relatively relaxed position.
If you did it in the morning, it would be something that would help you as far as for work and getting through your daily activities. And also something else that's really helpful is stretching all the muscles in your body, which hurts at first, but I don't know of any other thing that relaxes me or that makes me feel better is after I've stretched all the muscles in my body.
Well, for those of you who want to go to dinner, go ahead and do that. For those of you who want to stay and go through the procedure again.